And we thank you for your word, which we can look at together. And we pray you would speak to us and that you would open our ears and our hearts, that we would hear what you say and that we would be transformed as a result. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you've been with us any time over the last 3 months, you'll know we've been looking at John's Gospel together. As we've done so, we've been particularly focused on the signs of God's kingdom. They've been right through John. Signs of the coming of God's kingdom and of the glory of his King, Jesus. And today's passage is no different. It's full of signs of who Jesus is and what he'll do. Though this time the signs are there in the names and titles that are used of Jesus. I wonder how many you saw as we read through today's passage. I counted at least 9 titles of Jesus. You might like to have another read at home and see how many you can find. They're signs Jesus is pretty extraordinary. But this morning I don't want to look at those signs. Instead, as we end our time in John's Gospel, I want to look at the people who first saw them. To ask, what kind of people were they? And how did they respond? And in that, can they teach us anything? Well, in this Gospel, the first person to see a sign is John the Baptist. He sees the Spirit descending and remaining on Jesus. He explains this is the sign he's been waiting for. As we read last week, he's just the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." But until he saw that sign, he had no idea who he was preparing the way for. Now, thanks to this sign, he knows. It's Jesus. And how does he respond to this sign? Does he laugh and say, "It can't be him, he's just my cousin"? No. He carries on with his mission of pointing people to Jesus. He proclaims and continues to proclaim that Jesus is the Lamb of God, the one who's come to take away the sins of the world. Which leads to the next people who see the signs. It's 2 of John's disciples. They're there with John by the Jordan when they see Jesus walking by. John points Jesus out to them again and says, "That's him, that's him, that's the Lamb of God." That's enough of a sign for them. They decide to check Jesus out for themselves, and they start following him along the Jordan. Perhaps at this stage they just want to know more. Perhaps they're still trying to figure out what John meant. But Jesus confronts them and asks them, "What are you looking for?" Of course, immediately they're just wanting to know where Jesus is staying, so they can talk with him some more and get to know him better. But did you notice how Jesus' question goes deeper than that? It challenges them and it challenges us about what we're hoping to find. As we, like those first disciples, take our first steps in following Jesus, what are we looking for? What are we looking for in life? What are we looking for in Jesus? When we're confronted with how he calls us to live, are we ready to continue following? Or will we go on our way looking for something else? Who were these first responders anyway? These first 2 disciples to start following Jesus? Well, we don't even know the name of one of them. It's possible it's John, the author of this gospel. That would fit in with how he writes about himself later on. But it's not definite. The first disciple who is named is Andrew. But did you notice how he's introduced? He's Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew's relationship with his brother defines him. Anybody here with an older sibling, or a more successful one, or a famous parent will know what this feels like, to always be in the shadow of another. Peter ends up as one of the leaders of the apostles in the early church. So in some ways it's natural to introduce Andrew as Simon Peter's brother. But it just seems unfair. He's the first to follow Jesus. But for anyone who's been overshadowed by another, it's good to know still that Andrew's contribution is vital. Because when he encounters Jesus, he's the one who fetches Simon. Without Andrew, there'd be no Simon Peter. Fetching his brother was perhaps as great a service to the church as any person ever did. So Andrew's a great model for us in inviting our family and friends to come and meet Jesus. He starts at home, but bringing others to meet Jesus is something he continues to do. For us, it's perhaps the most common and most effective way of sharing the gospel. An invitation from one friend or family member to another. Well, when he brings his brother Simon to meet Jesus, did you notice what happened? Jesus didn't dwell on any of Peter's faults on his rough and ready nature or his impulsiveness, which is a great comfort for us, that when God sees us, he doesn't see our sins and our failures, for these are forgiven in Christ. God sees us as his children washed by the blood of the Lamb. So when Jesus meets Peter, Simon, he focuses on the potential he sees in him. He gives him the name Kephas, or Peter, which means rock. Jesus begins the process of transforming him into the person he calls him to be, just as he transforms us through his Spirit. Well, on the next day, two more disciples are added to Jesus' little band. The first of these is Philip. In the other Gospels, Philip only gets a mention as one of the 12 disciples. But here in John's Gospel, we learn that Jesus personally tracked him down. The sign he saw was a personal invitation to follow. Throughout the Gospel, we get an idea of why he might have been singled out like this. He's often shown as somewhat out of his depth. Perhaps Philip isn't the most capable of men. In John 6, he's unsure of how that crowd of 5,000 could be fed, short of them gathering together 6 months' worth of wages. Later on, when some Greeks come to see Jesus, Philip's unsure of what to do and has to consult with Andrew. Later on in chapter 14, Philip's the one to ask Jesus to show them the Father. Even towards the end, he's struggling to understand Jesus' relationship with the Father. Perhaps all these are the reason why this time it's Jesus who takes the initiative in going out and finding Philip. It's good to know that Jesus went out of his way to find the otherwise ordinary Philip and to recruit him. But whatever his limitations might have been, Philip responds just as Andrew did. He rushes out to tell someone else about Jesus. He runs to Nathanael and proclaims that Jesus is the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. Jesus is the one they've been waiting for. But Nathanael's response is classic. Nazareth, he says, can anything good come from there? And there might have been some small town rivalry going on here. Nathanael is from Cana, a small town in Galilee. Much as we might poke fun at Tasmanians or New Zealanders, there was no great love lost between those from Galilee and those from Judea, where Jesus was from. But more than this, Nathanael's scepticism is understandable. Nazareth is a small, nowhere town. It isn't mentioned in any of the prophecies Philip spoke about concerning the Messiah. Though, of course, we know the truth that Jesus was really born in Bethlehem, which is spoken of. Philip responds in the best way possible. He doesn't have all the answers. Instead, he invites Nathanael to come and see for himself. Sometimes the best thing we can do is ask people to meet Jesus for themselves. What about asking someone to read the Bible with you? Inviting someone to read with you to meet Jesus and decide for themselves. That's what Nathanael does. He takes up Philip's offer and goes with him to meet Jesus. As he comes near, Jesus demonstrates he knows the heart of every person. He greets Nathanael as an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. It's a great compliment, one that captures Nathanael's attention. But Jesus provides an even greater sign then. Jesus admits that he saw Nathanael under the fig tree before Philip even fetched him. Now, the exact significance of this might be lost to us, but it wasn't on Nathanael. He sees this as a sign and straightaway confesses that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, the long-promised King of Israel. Jesus responds to him with an even greater promise, not just to him, but to all of us, that we will see greater things than this. And as we've seen over the last 3 months, as we've gone through John, we certainly do. We've seen great signs, signs that heaven has opened up. We've seen the connection between heaven and earth is in Jesus, that he's the one through whom God's kingdom breaks into our world. The signs that were promised to these first disciples. These first disciples were just ordinary folk. They weren't remarkable. They were overshadowed people like Andrew. They were otherwise unknown. They were explosive potential leaders like Peter. They were withdrawn, struggling characters like Philip. They were earnest, ingenuous souls like Nathanael. They were ordinary folk, just like us. But they heard that call to follow and they took that step of faith. And they encourage us to do the same. And they remind us that Jesus still calls and still invites people to follow him. And what they did next is important too. After they took those first steps, they kept following. They make some pretty strong confessions here. But as the gospel unfolds, we see them still grappling with the significance of the signs they've witnessed. We see them still trying to work out what God's kingdom was about. We see them growing in their relationship with Jesus. They remind us that we need to press on in our faith, that we need to continue to respond day by day. And these first disciples remind us we have to share the signs we've seen with others, that we all have a part in sharing the gospel, that we can all invite others to check Jesus out and see the signs for themselves. And when we do, we should pray that they too will believe, and that they will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing they may have life in his name. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for these first disciples, that they were ordinary men and women who took that step of faith in following you and who continued to do so day by day, and that as they did, they shared with others what they had seen and heard. We pray that you would help us to follow their example, to step out in faith, to follow in faith, and to share our faith with those around us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.